It is 93.3 WMMR, Everything That Rocks. Ryan Shuttleworth here, and tonight I have the great pleasure of sitting at the beautiful Fillmore, and I get to celebrate with a lot of other folks in the area a great band that I'm absolutely crazy about. There's no two ways about it. They're riding high on their multiple Grammy-nominated record, The Stories We Tell Ourselves. It's got smash hits like Go to War, Just Say When, Let 'Em Burn, all of which you've heard here on MMR. They have brought their Truth Tour with a lot of good friends in Palisades, Bad Flower, and Of Mice and Men joining the tour as well. Their name is Nothing More, and I have the great pleasure of speaking with their frontman, Johnny Hawkins, here at the Fillmore. Johnny, how are you, my friend?
Doing good, man. You make me sound way cooler than I feel like I am. So I need to have you next to me at all times just to give that introduction.
Hey, I can be your Flavor Flav. I'll be your hype man. Not a problem at all.
Be my hype man, man.
Well, welcome back to Philadelphia, first and foremost, and welcome to the Fillmore. I think it's your first time playing this room,
yeah,
is that correct?
I don't think we've ever been in this venue. If we have, we were shoved in a closet somewhere, because the rest of this venue is beautiful. It's the backstage is really cool. They have giant Star Wars figurines hanging from the ceiling and old arcade games, and the room we're in right now is like, the walls are like a giant chalkboard.
Yeah, I've never it's been cool. in this room, and I don't have time because my ADD is probably kicking in of looking at everything, so I'm just going to keep my attention off of that. It's such a great feeling having you here. I mentioned before, you've played a lot of different venues in the area. You saw the headlining tour at RTLA recently. You know, you were doing the opening gigs for, I think, Five Finger Death Punch and Breaking Benjamin at our BB&T across the river. And I told the story to you off the microphone about seeing you opening up for Periphery at this place called District 9. It was like 4 or 5 years ago, and it's the size of the room that we're in. And it's just such a great feeling having you in this bigger venue and doing what you do best.
It's fun to look back, man, because that really wasn't that long ago, but feels like a blur because we've done hundreds of shows since then all over the world, and our heads have been spinning. But now that we finally, you know, feel kind of the finish line with this record, we look back and we're like, wow, okay, we're playing venues like this, like the Fillmore, and a lot of these shows are sold out, so it's a really, really good feeling and a breath of fresh air after all the hard work, man.
Absolutely, and you're going to have a packed house here tonight. Now, the Truth Tour, what I love about this, and I quote, it's the concept that art, music, and the rock and roll spirit are pure forms of truth that can bring people together, spark new ideas and ways to change ourselves and the world. I absolutely love that, man. That's just a great vibe to have going into the show.
Yeah. We feel like the change that we've seen in our personal lives, and I know a lot of other people can relate to this, is it usually comes from music, just the power of, I should say the power of inspiration, and that can come in many forms. We just happen to be using the medium of music to do that. But a lot of turning points in my life have been the result of a song hitting me at the right time in the right place. It gives you a feeling that is just so powerful, and that's why we got into music in the first place. So us doing the Truth Tour is, you know, we put truth upside down in a lot of our advertisements. Our bass player, Daniel, was telling me, he's like, naval ships, when they were in distress, they would fly their flag upside down. So we felt like the truth was kind of in distress right now in our culture, just with, I guess, kind of the divisiveness of everything in media right now. Everything is divided into teams and camps, and the cool thing about music is it doesn't really matter. You're kind of all on team inspiration, team goosebumps, you know, team power, and that's what we're going for.
That's excellent. And I have to confess, I've seen you close to a dozen times live in different venues and different stages. The big venues, the ones like this here at the Fillmore, the small clubs. And there is that sense of unity at a Nothing More show. There really is. And when I tell people about this band, you know, obviously you want to go, you know, listen to the music and go get the records and things. But I always push the live show with you guys. And, you know, a Spinal Tap thing for you guys, everything is to 11. Every single thing. So let's say, you know, I'm uninitiated. I have no idea what I'm getting myself into for a Nothing More show. What can somebody expect from, you know, this band when they come see you live?
A lot of energy. I mean, even if we feel bad, we go out there and hurt ourselves just to make the show as good as it can be. I walk off stage huffing and puffing, and just my head hurts. So I like to give it everything I got every night. So we put a lot of energy out into the audience. We also, you know, are playing a lot of songs that are have a depth and a lyric. And what I mean by that is, you know, we're not just going out there playing songs about nothing. We really believe every ounce of, you know, heart and soul and lyric. Like, we believe it with our full heart. So you're going to see a passionate show. I guess that's what I'm getting at, is passion.
And one of the things that draw a lot of people, there are a lot of, I guess the best way to say it is, contraptions that you have on the stage. I mean, you have like things like the scorpion tail and the drumtron. Can you go into them just a little bit? I don't want to spoil the show too much, but
yeah, we have a lot of creations that we've built. Our bass player Daniel kind of heads up those projects. He's the welder in the band, and we just try to take a different approach to a live show than most rock bands. So you're going to see at this particular show, you're going to see a device that Daniel built that launches me into the air, and I kind of ride it like a transformer, if you will. And I basically am wrestling with this machine we call the Scorpion Tail, and it's controlling the guitars and the vocals, much like a DJ would control pre-recorded material. Mm-hmm. Well, we're controlling and affecting actual live musicians, so it's a kind of a different effect and a different thing. And then you're going to see all of us throwing drums around the stage and doing, jumping into the audience. Just, I don't know, man. You just got to see it.
Anything new in the works? Anything that he's got any blueprints for? Or?
Oh, yeah, yeah. We always got ideas, you know, working in the background. And it's always a, and we got hundreds of ideas. It always comes down to, okay, how much time do we have? What are our resources? How much money can we put into this? And how much room on stage do we have? So the good news is this tour has proven to us that we're growing, and we're going to be in bigger rooms. We're going to have more access to create wilder things. But we have an idea that involves me battling a robotic drummer machine of some sort that I'm going to strap into and you know, go inverted potentially, or I don't know. We'll see. We got a lot of ideas in the works.
That's awesome. And so I see with a lot of these different contraptions, you you might have blown your budget on them because you don't usually wear a shirt on the stage. Do you need a shirt to wear? I mean, I know the budget, it's getting blown on all that. Do you need one? I have some in my car if you need it.
You know,
or do you just want to show that off a little
bit? I actually get to, my shirts are so fresh when I get home. You know, all the other guys' shirts are destroyed from all the sweat and everything on stage. You know, ever since I was 7 years old, I've rocked no shirt, no shoes. My grandma used to call me Johnny Appleseed. I really had kind of a Huckleberry Finn like attitude to life. And I think that as I got older, you know, I was the drummer for years in the band, and I always played with no shirt just because on drums it felt better. I just felt free. You know, I could move my arms just and sweat and not have to worry about anything. And then as I became the singer, there was all these, I just noticed that like so many people would push you into a category depending on what clothes you wore. Oh, that's so metal. Oh, that's so punk. Oh, that's so pop, or, you know, whatever. And so, you know, when I just came out bare chested, no shoes, you know, obviously wear pants because then it gets weird, you know, a little too weird. But I mean
depends on who you are. So I told a girl that I had the opportunity to talk to you today, and she's like, oh, he looks great without a shirt on. Is he going to do that for
the interview?
Oh my
god.
And I said, well, I don't know, should I take my shirt off? She's like, no, probably not, but you know, you should ask him. I'm like, thanks, I appreciate that.
To those listening, we are completely naked right now during this interview.
Fully.
We're actually in a sauna. Just like sweating it out.
I have never been more comfortable with another man in my life. So
no.
I do want to ask, because I see that there, you guys have a couple charitable organizations attached to this. If I have this correct here, it's the it's Headcount and To Write Love on Her Arms. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell me a little bit about them?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked about that. You know, part of the concept of this whole tour is truth. And we have truth right side up and truth upside down. And we feel like two parts of solving, I guess, the problem, if you will, which is a giant problem of misinformation or the country going the wrong direction or us having just a better world to live in, you know, in general, there's always two sides of the coin. There's outward action and there's inward action. And I feel like a lot of people or bands or talking heads focus on one side of the coin. And so we decided to focus on both sides of the coin. One is Headcount, which is focusing on the outward action, which is voting. That, you know, that's one thing in the outward world, but it's an actionable thing that actually affects, you know, our country, where we're going. People forget that it actually can have an effect, and we all do it, but most of us don't. That's usually the biggest problem. Even though our system is kind of screwed up, can use a lot of work, it still does affect things. And then the other direction is the inward direction, which is to write love on our arms. This organization is focused on depression, anxiety, mental health issues, suicide. They are really just a voice out there in the world that's kind of a beacon of hope for people who feel like they're in a corner and are just, you know, really beaten down with their own inner demons, or they just haven't quite figured out life yet. There's a lot of people out there like that, that just haven't figured themselves out yet. And depression and anxiety are usually a byproduct of that. And people get so focused on their depression or the anxiety or their bipolar or mental health issues that they forget that, you know, those aren't who you are. That's just a byproduct, or that's just what you're dealing with currently. And we're just trying to let people know there's another way to live. There are ways out of that. Many of us have been there personally and know that there's a way out, and that there is a permanent way out where you can actually stay healthy. And it's just like physical health. It needs maintenance. It needs love. It needs care. And when you start treating mental health that way, I think that you're going to see a huge change in our country, probably one of the biggest, because if we have a population of people that are mentally healthy, that affects more things than any other one thing I could narrow down, because it affects how we interact with each other. It affects our families. It affects our financial decisions, our physical decisions. Mental health is at the core of every issue. So we're really proud to have them with us.
Are you having the I believe they're the cards out at the front of the show. Is that correct? Where folks can write things down with the
yeah.
Write on that?
Yeah. Yeah. We have cards. It was something that we thought was just kind of an interesting little different thing to do at a concert. Mm-hmm. And people are, it's really kind of cool to see from our point of view. I mean, if it's more for us than anyone, I guess, because we see some of these stories, or people will write their experiences, or how music changed them or helped them, or, you know, they had a gun against their head and they put it down because the song came out the right time on shuffle. I mean, crazy stuff like that. And we get to see these kind of written out. And the other cool kind of synergistic effect that it has, other people get to see them. And they're like, wow, okay, you know, I'm not the only one dealing with this. You know, people get in their own head. I remember my own sister, not Jenna, who the song Jenny's about, but my other sister, Jessie. Sometimes the biggest problem wasn't what she was dealing with. It was that she had this idea in her head that she was the only one in the world dealing with this problem, you know. So she never took that step to kind of open her eyes and her vision to the left and to the right of her, to all these other people that are dealing with it. And that's where you start finding answers, because other people have little keys. They have answers to how they deal with things that are different than you. And that's how you find your way out together. So that's why we're doing that.
And it's beautiful. It goes back to, you know, the idea of this tour, of this unifying idea that we're all coming together for the same thing. It's this love of music. So thank you for doing that. It's absolutely incredible. I want to switch gears a little bit, talking about the stories we tell ourselves. I love this record, and I love all of your music. This one hit home particularly because it's a full record. If that makes sense. Like, I have it physically here. I can go get this CD, or I can get the vinyl. I can put this in my car or in my stereo, and I can go track by track, and the whole thing tells a story. There are these amazing songs with these interludes and these beautiful spoken word pieces. Correct me if I'm wrong, the idea of writing a full album isn't lost on you guys. Am I correct in saying that?
Yeah. When the world was kind of moving towards smaller, more bite-sized releases like EPs and singles, we kind of went the opposite direction. We made a longer record because we felt like that was actually creating a landscape and an environment where depth was lacking. And we felt like there was a lot of shallow kind of sensory overload. There's so much out there, but not a lot of it connects on a deep level. So we were like, let's just make something deep and like, let's be the opposite of everything that's out there. And we found that people were resonating with that, because the full album experience is a different one. You know, when you listen to something from start to finish, it's like a good movie. You know, it draws you in, and I think it's the sum is greater than the parts, you know.
And there are so many different parts that make that sum, too. There are so many different feelings that you could have at a certain moment that you only get by listening to this fully.
Right.
And that it's a testament in the age that we live in that everything, you know, for a lot of folks, it's a single. And yeah. I love the fact that you guys are not doing that. And obviously it's showing. You guys got nominated for best, you know, rock record with this. And it's a testament to, you know, what you guys are about and what people, I think, really want in this world.
Yeah.
Somebody along the lines of, and it's going to kill me if I don't remember who actually said this, it's like a Keith Richards or somebody of that ilk that said, once a song is recorded, it's not done there. It grows, it moves on past that. So mm-hmm. we've been able to marinate with this record for a little while now. Is there a song on this or maybe another record perhaps that's really resonating with you right now?
I would say there's a song called Home by a band called Black Peaks. Like peaks, like a mountain peak.
And if I'm not mistaken, they're coming with you on your European run.
Yeah, yeah. I've been wanting to have them tour with us for a long time now. Not a lot of people know about this band, but their latest record, it's really, really good. It's another band who has like a full listen-through kind of album, start to finish. But the song Home, it's one of those songs that paints a picture that the lyric lines up with the feeling and the atmosphere and the mood of the song, where it kind of takes me to another world. It activates my imagination, and I love when songs do that. Like, it's not just a lyric or a cool melody or, ooh, it's catchy. It's like literally transport me, just like a good movie does. You know, I close my eyes and I go somewhere else. So definitely check that song out if you're listening.
Yeah, absolutely. And is there is there Nothing More song that really kind of is standing out to you right now?
Right now, live, I'm really enjoying playing Tunnels. I was talking in our VIP earlier about this, that when you write like a song that is kind of in kind of a, I would say, negative song. Negative is maybe not the right word, but when you're dealing with a negative experience in life, a lot of times it's an opportunity to write a song to vent about that and release some negative emotions. And it's always like real powerful in that moment. But in the long term, it's not as powerful singing it night after night after night, because it kind of replays that negative moment. Whereas a song like Tunnels has an incredibly strong positive backbone to the chorus. So it is a very like overcoming willpower kind of a song. So when I sing it every night, it like gives me energy rather than takes energy. And so I really like that about it.
I do have to say, Funny Little Creatures for me, I keep coming back to recently. It's kind of this self, you know, introspective kind of feel. So
yeah,
real quick, I just had to,
I love that,
that to you. So,
no, that's awesome.
If that's on the set, I do have to ask. I read somewhere, what is the obsession with the number 22?
It's my lucky number. Okay. That's a great question, because I have 100 stories about that number, and I've documented a lot of them, like a crazy person. You know, if you ever seen the movie 23 with Jim Carrey,
you're one number off. So
it's like, you know, it is kind of like that in my life, where it's shown up in some very eerie ways. And I'm not superstitious, but if you sit down and talk with me longer, there's nuanced differences why I believe it's not superstitious. It's more subconscious connection to the external world. But basically, the first experience I had with 22 was just kind of a funny, you know, seemingly coincidental one, where my original guitar player, Josh, and myself, he's still like my best friend, but he was the other guitar player when we started the band. We were watching the television, and a lottery came on, and he was like, you know, we were kids, maybe middle school, and he's like, you know, God or, you know, the universe or whatever is out there, if we're going to be the biggest band in the world, give me a sign, make the last number of the lottery 22. And I was sitting there, and it goes like 13, 9, 7, 25, or, you know, whatever numbers. And then we're like, haha, oh, well, you know, we weren't totally serious about it. It was just kind of joking, but, you know, so it's like, ah, I guess not. And we start walking away. And then sure enough, off screen, there was two more numbers, and the thing moves across and goes 22, 22. And it was like,
wow.
And then the next day at school, I got my book from the class, and I was thinking about it, just kind of daydreaming and going, this is crazy. And I was like, they're like, Johnny, you know, snap it back into reality. What's the number of your book? Because we were doing the book, so we had to tell what number we had. And I looked, and it was 22. And I was like, huh, this is a weird coincidence. And then ever since then, I started having all these weird, of course, I'm looking for it, but I had weird coincidences at perfect timings, you know, that just impossible to plan kind of moments. Mm-hmm. And so I started documenting them, because I thought it was interesting. And And I know that it's kind of half of it's a little make believe. You know, once I gave my brain the red flag that said, hey, this is significant, it kind of looks for it in the world. My subconscious does without me even knowing consciously that it's doing it. But that is part of the significance. But there's a lot of other stuff behind it I'd have to write a book about.
You absolutely should. That's, I mean, looking back at that lottery numbers and then here you are. So there's a synchronicity to that. There really is. Mm-hmm. A few more questions for you. So you're doing this tour. The idea being that we're going to wrap this tour up, you guys are, and then you're bunkering down and working on the next record. Is that correct?
Yeah. We still have to go to Europe and do the Truth Tour there, and then we're going home. We're going to take about 3 months to kind of recoup. We've toured a ton this year and last year and the 10 years before that. So we're ready to just kind of have a little bit of normalcy for a second to clear our minds. And then that's usually a good first part of the record process, though, is the clearing of the mind. Because a lot of, even though we're not sitting in a room together, a lot of that time our minds are getting filled with ideas. So we'll start working on the record right after that.
Now, it may be a little early to say this, but do you have an idea in your head and your heart, you know, where you see this record going? Have you started to record things? Do you have kind of an idea about it? Or is it just, we have to figure that out still?
I have a lot of individual ideas. As far as the entire record as a whole, conceptually, that's something that kind of reveals itself about halfway through the process, once we've gotten all the individual ideas out on the table. Because kind of a theme or a overarching feeling and the topics that are happening kind of start coming together in certain ways, and we recognize kind of a thread through all of them. And then, yeah, so right now it's more individual ideas. I am getting intrigued, though, by this kind of this niche of audio creators on the internet that I found that are doing a lot of cool stuff with tape looping. So they're buying these like flea market tape recorders from the 80s and that are just like $15 old pieces of junk, but they get these tapes and they splice the tape and make like a loop, and so they'll run the tape through the cassette and out like around a wine glass on the other side of the room, so it just runs into a loop, and they just record all this weird stuff onto all these different tape recorders and then overlap them and make really cool ambient soundscapes. And so I kind of want to experiment with that on the next record, so I think it'll be a little, there'll be some vibier elements mixed in there based on some of the tape experimentation.
I think the last couple of you guys were in one house in separate rooms. Is that correct? Are you going to go that same kind of route where...
Well, we can't really as much anymore. That was when we did the self-titled record. And we were all in the same city, all kind of living together. None of us were married life was a little simpler in that sense. So now I live in a different state. Ben, our drummer, lives in a different state, and so we have to really coordinate when we're together and when we're not. So the good news, though, since we recorded that record, is technology is just advancing so quickly that we can really work on a record apart from each other and make a ton of progress, because the communication and file transfers, everything's just so much faster now. So we're going to work apart and then come together in the same place and then work apart. And actually, each one creates different results. So it's actually a good thing for the record.
I have one final question. Mm-hmm. And I really like to sum this band up. I love summing Nothing More up with one word, and that's perseverance. It's something that our radio station and the city really understands. Our radio station, WMMR, if you don't know, we've been live and local 24 hours a day, 7 days a week for our 51st year this year. We celebrated our 50th anniversary last year.
Not congrats.
Thank you. Not a lot of stations can say that. And it took the city even longer to get a Super Bowl title. So people in the city really understand the idea of putting your nose to the grindstone and fighting for your dream. And I see that in this band. I see that with you guys. I mean, a lot of folks, you know, have come in and they're seeing this record, the stories we tell ourselves. They may think, oh, first or second, but this is number 5, if I'm not mistaken.
That sounds right. We did a bunch when we were younger, so it is. Yeah, it's about 5.
So you guys have, and for a lot of these times, you've financed this yourself. You guys have believed in this and said, no, this is what we're going to do. This is, and you have allowed fans to come to you based off of that. And all these years later, it's working. So my question for you, it really is, man. I'll say it for you. You've started to make it.
Yeah.
So my question for you is, since I can say, you know, with all honesty, that you guys have really made it. What does it feel like taking the stage tonight at the Fillmore after all that you have been through, all that you've fought and worked so hard to achieve? What does that mean to you? And then where do you think this is going to go in the future? What would you like to see?
Man, what it means to me is just validation of a lot of feelings and beliefs we had at the very beginning, that there was nobody saying that it was going to be true. You know, there was nothing proving those feelings. So I guess the word is validation, which is awesome because it reinforces that feeling of or that belief of build it and they will come. You know, that famous line. Field of Dreams. It's so true, though. You know, you just focus on building it and you just focus on doing what you love better and better and better every day. Just try to be better. And people start showing up and people start wanting to help you. And so it's validation of that. And it's also what it means going into the future is like we have so much more confidence going into the next record. Like I know it's going to I just believe and know every record's going to be better than the last. Whereas sometimes people, because there's more success, they feel like there's more pressure. Like, oh, no, we have to top that one or we have to top this one. I think we're getting better. I feel like I'm getting stronger. I don't sense like we're going to put out a flop. And so it's kind of exciting because there's no ceiling. You know, I don't feel like there's any the sky is the limit. Like, I think we can keep growing and keep aiming for new targets. And that's just going to be good for all the fans because they're going to just get better music and better shows and everything. So it's a win-win.
You keep doing what you're doing. I guarantee you're going to have at least one person in me that's going to keep showing up. Johnny, thank you so much for your time. Is there anything that you'd like to add?
Man, I would just tell anybody out there, based on kind of what you were just saying, don't take no for an answer. We were just thinking about this the other day. Like, we did so many showcases for labels for, like, a few years and got turned down on. They all said no. And we had a fork in the road. We had to either believe them or believe our own hearts. And so we said, we're going to find a way to do it ourselves. And so just do it yourself. If you have an idea, just do it. Just one step at a time, one day at a time. And it'll work out. It'll work out if you stick with it. That's the other side of it. Perseverance. You got to persevere. And Philly knows about that, like
Philly,
you said.
Philly knows way too much about that. Johnny, thank you so much for taking the time. We really appreciate it. Great success for the show tonight. Continued success. The record, the next one, is going to be incredible. And please feel free to drop a line if you ever want to chat again.
Oh, absolutely. This was a great interview. I appreciate you asking me real questions and not the same old, same old.
Thank you again, my friend, for your time. And
cheers.
Thank you.
Appreciate it, man.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.